and welcome to Trust Your Glitter Podcast. This is Christy, and I am here with part two of the total solar eclipse update, in that I just want to kind of talk out what we're going to be experiencing today, April 8th, with this Aries total solar eclipse from a different level of, you know, there's just so much going online with fear mongering that I kind of want to ground the energy and kind of offer a different perspective of what we're shifting into. And I want to reiterate, you know, we have several eclipses a year, generally about four eclipses a year, depending on where something called the North and South Node are placed. Now, this can shift per season for us. So right now, our North and South Node placements, with the North Node in Aries based on Western astrology and the South Node in Libra, bring us eclipses that are within the realm of the nodes. So our eclipses would be within 30 degrees of the nodes, and then a total solar or total lunar eclipse is within 10 degrees of the North Node and South Node. So that's how we constitute, like, what's a total eclipse, what's a total solar or lunar eclipse, what's partial, etc., etc. So I just want to put that out there, because I saw somebody post a video and say that the last time a solar eclipse happened in America was in August of 2017. That is not true. Please go back and go into my podcast archives and see that I have archived, since I started Trust Your Glitter Podcast, the eclipse cycles and schedules that we've had, even, you know, explaining how last year's 2023 eclipses tied into our eclipse season this year. And even on a grander scale, every single eclipse has something called a Saros cycle. You can literally Google it. Every single eclipse has its own family of eclipses, and that is spelled Saros. Every eclipse has a Saros kind of lineage. So the lineage of an eclipse is about 18 and a half to 19 years, depending on the nodal cycle, the North and South Node cycles. And in Vedic astrology, the North and South Node are referred to as Rahu and Ketu, which are the head and the tail of the dragon or the snake, depending on how you look at it. So, you know, one of the examples I gave was the song Black Hole Sun by Chris Cornell. He's talking about an eclipse. He's talking about, you know, snakes in the sky. You know, these are ancient descriptions of what eclipses do. When a total solar eclipse occurs, you look at the ground and you can see the snakes, quote unquote, moving based on the rotation and the shadow. And it looks like snakes are crawling on the ground. So there's a lot of ancient lore when it comes to eclipses, native lore. And we are in the year of the dragon for the Chinese astrology, Lunar New Year that brought us the year of the dragon. And the numerology of the year is number 8, which is the sign of the infinite. Our strength in tarot is represented by Leo, the lion energy. So it's our total strength. So there's a ton of symbolism that comes along with this eclipse. And I just want to say that up front, because there's so much, you know, some people are going towards it to see it. Some people are doing their own thing. And, you know, I want to say, like, I have a table here where I'm staying, and it's going to be my makeshift altar. I have some pictures of, you know, ancestors around it, but I actually cleaned off my altar today. And what I'm doing for my gratitude or ritual, or however you want to say it, towards this eclipse is, I am doing a clean slate honoring. It's not a ritual. It's not a manifestation ritual. It is literally just honoring the sacred sun, honoring the moon, honoring the fact that I live on planet Earth, honoring the journey and honoring the fact that I'm looking at this as a cosmic clean slate. You know, we've gone through a collective trauma. This eclipse is highlighting a ton of trauma, especially war trauma that is going on around the globe that affects all of us, that affects so many families around the world. And so I just took this table and I took a washcloth and I put regular water on the washcloth and cleaned it off, folded the towel, and then tomorrow in the morning I will take that towel, wet it again, and wipe the table off and allow it to be bare. And that's it. I'm just going to have a clean table as my altar, as gratitude towards the fact that a new moon, which is what a solar eclipse is, it's a new moon energy, is providing a new life and a new rebirth. And we have so many factors going on at once that I wrote something out, but I also want to reiterate, there will be an April 9th for us all. We will be here. We're not going to be wiped off the planet. If anything, it's arising our consciousness that's going on. We're waking up to the fact that power structures are shifting in ways that we have to either recognize or, you know, understand that, you know, looking at things from across the board, politics, housing, jobs, weather, you know, we had magnetic events, we had seismic events, so many things going on. There's Schumann resonance is off the charts, you know, solar flares. All of these things align. All of these things are showing us different angles of how we are all connected. We are in the age of Aquarius. Pluto is in the sign of Aquarius. We get a short amount of time with Pluto back in Capricorn for a little bit, especially for the US. This is very poignant. I'm going to keep on digging into the fact that the United States went through a Pluto return. Also, the great conjunctions of 2020, this is all connected. All of this is interconnected. So we need to understand that this is not just like one day where, you know, I know a lot of Christian-based religions are talking about the rapture. I'm not here to say I know everything that's going to be going on, but I'm here to say, like, I'm looking at the astrology. And there's just too much work we still have yet to do. So for a lot of people who are fear-mongering online, you know, there are things that we really, really have to recognize, like a genocide that's going on. And there are things that we really have to recognize, like, you know, I saw a TikTok yesterday of a woman who was prepping. And she was spending $1,000 in a Dollar Tree or a Dollar General. She's like, come with me to the Dollar General or Dollar Tree to get $1,000 worth of prepping equipment. And it's like, that's missing the point. You know, 2020 shook me up enough to like get a house in the desert, fill it with, you know, water and tons of dry beans and dry rice, only to have that house sold from underneath me and only to revisit that land a year later and that house was chopped down to its base level, and to sit there in Mojave land and mourn that house that was lost and know that that is kind of symbolic of what we're going through. And, you know, it is not, to me, the biggest thing to look at is, you know, Native Indigenous tribes who are rising up and speaking up against the fact that their people were literally part of a genocide, and the fact that, you know, there are literally missing people every day amongst Native nations across the United States of America. And I think I'm trying to remember. I have to look up his name. Hold on. There is a gentleman who, his name is Cole Brings Plenty. You know, there is an eclipse recognition with him, that the fact that, you know, amongst Indigenous nations that tomorrow, April 8th, will be a day for people to wear braids, whether they are of Indigenous genealogy or not, in honor of the fact that this man was most likely murdered, allegedly. So, you know, there is more to this picture. Like, you can prep all the fuck you want, but the reality is, this is a bigger picture. You know, Mother Earth is shaking us, literally, you know. And yeah, like, there are so many stories about CERN, and then different, you know, locations of CERN around the globe, you know, working with their particle colliders, HARP, things like that, NOAA, and NASA doing all their bullshit, right? But the reality is, we live on a Mother Earth realm, however you want to look at that. I'm not an expert. I'm just somebody that studies astrology. I'm a comedian, and I write, and I meditate, and these are the insights that I'm sharing. Obviously, go do your own research. Obviously, come to your own conclusions. Obviously, experience the eclipse however you want to experience the eclipse, or however you need to experience the eclipse. But I am sharing the insights that I've gathered through meditation and something that I wrote down that was like, this is what your podcast is. So I'm just going to read some notes, because we are experiencing a healing from a trauma level. So I wrote, this is a collective solar plexus healing. So our solar plexus chakra, so Aries, the ram, which is what this eclipse is based on Western astrology. If you're viewing Vedic astrology, again, I'll repeat myself from the last part one. Vedic astrology is looking at the positions of the constellations. So if you see people online being like, but it's still in Pisces. Absolutely. That's based on Vedic astrology. They're looking at the positioning of the constellations. Western astrology, we're looking at the seasons. So those are the differences. So based on Western astrology, this eclipse is in the sign of the ram, the Aries, which rules the head. But also, if you look at what a ram is, it's basically the female reproductive system. So we also have to acknowledge and need to acknowledge that. And when I look at the solar plexus, or when we look at the solar plexus chakra, so if we look at like a picture of the solar plexus, this is yellow, the color yellow. And it's I want to shout out my friend, I don't know if I want to put their name, but it is a gateway between the upper and lower chakras. So our first chakra being our primal chakra, our second chakra being like our reproductive system as well, so like our pelvic floor. And our first chakra being like our grounding energy, or, you know, what connects us to the earth. So first chakra is red. Second chakra is orange. Third chakra is yellow. Fourth chakra is our heart chakra, that is green. Fifth chakra is our throat chakra, our voice, communication, that is blue. Sixth chakra is our third eye. There's about 13 different chakras. Our third eye is purple, and then we have our crown chakra, it was like a violet, connecting us all from earth to ether through our systems. So our third chakra, which is what this moon and Kali, the goddess Kali of fire, because Aries is fire. Aries is a cardinal sign, which is the seasonal signs. I call them the leadership signs, but they represent our seasons. So Aries being the spring, Cancer being the summer, Libra being the fall, and Capricorn being the winter. Now, if you're on the southern hemisphere, obviously that's flipped for you. So Aries representing the first sign of the zodiac, which is like a birthing energy, which is like a primal energy. So if we look at an Aries in a cardinal leadership sign, this is the sign of being reborn. If we look at Este, Easter, this is the holiday of rebirth. So we are in a collective rebirth of the solar plexus, which the solar plexus is where we gain our confidence. It's our stomach fire, our vagal nerve in many ways, although there's other ways to look at the vagal nerve, but, you know, the heat of our stomach acid. And in a lot of ways, this is our womb energy through, so this is a little different from like scorpionic energy, although I do want to point out, if you are an Aries, a Libra, a Cancer, a Capricorn, or a Scorpio, or somebody who has a shit ton of Mars in your chart, or even I would argue if you say like your chart is like there's a shit ton of Chiron, or you're going through a Chiron return, which is around the age of 50, or you have any sort of Mercury movement. So I would even say like maybe Gemini, although Gemini, your stuff is Gemini's this year, you're going to get it towards May. We're going to talk about that later with Jupiter. I would say our signs that are really being affected, though, are the cardinal signs, Scorpios, or anybody who would identify their charts as very Mars or Chiron based, or you're going through a very strong Mars transit or Chiron transit. I would also say, you know, we're all affected by this total solar eclipse. If you're more Neptunian or Piscean, this eclipse could make you feel a lot more anger than you've ever felt, or just like kind of identifying the anger in a different way. So it's like reconnecting with your anger, or asking you to reconnect with your anger. So say you leveled up and you're like, hey, I'm like more Neptunian, Piscean. I'm not feeling the anger, but I'm feeling something. Because there Mars is in Pisces and Aries is ruled by Mars, there's a dynamic of fire and water with this particular eclipse. And it just so happens that this week, yes, this eclipse has a conjunction between Mars and Saturn, and we experienced last week's conjunction of Venus and Saturn. So on April 10th, that conjunction of Mars and Saturn is very specific. That's the exact date of the conjunction, but it's influencing this eclipse enough. And then April 11th, we have a solar conjunction with Mercury retrograde. So through this eclipse, Mercury is retrograde. Chiron is conjunct this eclipse. Chiron is definitely asking us to look at how we've been healing, what has worked for us and what hasn't worked for us. What has brought us confidence? How can we revisit something from a different perspective? So if you're somebody who's very sensitive, Neptunian, and you're like, I really, really, really don't want to look at this, and for some reason, like, your subconscious is fighting you, you're being asked to really surrender in this moment and trust the fact that, like, maybe there's a part of it you didn't want to look at over the years, and that's totally cool. That's part of the awakening process. And there is no, like, somebody's ahead of somebody more than somebody is ahead of somebody. Everybody's at the pace they need to be at right now, because that is where we're at as a collective. Nobody gets left behind. There's literally people on this planet right now that don't know where they're going to sleep tonight, and their entire family is hungry. So, like, there's a lot going on right now, and we're all at a different pace and a different level. So, for some of us, we might be recognizing that, like, we were sold a lie. And I was thinking, like, this is a public service announcement for, like, millennials and maybe even Gen Zers. But, like, if we did everything we thought we were supposed to do, we got the degrees, we did all the shit, and we're still like, why can I not get ahead or rent a place or even qualify? Like, I right now, in the last 6 months, have not been able to qualify to rent anything, even if I wanted to. So for me, you know, I bounced around from Airbnb, from couch to couch. And I understand that this is all part of the spiritual process, because Mother Earth is a spiritual home. But eventually, the collective, we're all going to have to be like, this housing situation the elites don't get a chance to tell us where we can live and where we can't. So I'm interested to see what the next 2 years brings ahead of us, because between now and 2030, as a collective, we have to understand that we are not bugs. We are not like these fucking sheep. We are more than that. And Aries is more than a sheep. You know, Aries is a ram. There's different components to the Aries themselves. And at a certain point, there's Aries, you know, the blessed soul that is reborn, this very pure spirit that's like, yeah, let's go out and get that fire. But at a certain point, the evolution of this eclipse, the recognition from this eclipse is going to take us to a space of like, oh my God, we have to fight this battle. And so we're being brought back to like, what trauma really does. 2020 brought us what's called a first chakra trauma. First chakra is family. A lot of times if you're healing first chakra wounds, you might experience autoimmune disorder stuff. You might experience skin issues. Eczema is very first chakra. You're cleansing through the skin. You're purifying through your skin. Irritation through the skin. Feeling at home in your own skin and your own body. It's also your bones. It's also your lower back. So if you have any back problems, that's a first chakra thing. First chakra wounds of 2020 brought us this idea that we are not safe in our own home, that anybody can die at any moment. Now, for people who have been bombed all their life, this is nothing new to them. But for people like in the US where we have Netflix and Roku and all this shit, this was a real first chakra wound. You know? There are places around the globe when they hear something's coming, they can't go to the Dollar General and spend $1,000 in prepping. It's what you got is what you got. And I'm coming at this from like an idea of like, I grew up in the US and I know that this podcast has international listeners, and I just want to explain like a lot of people in the US, like we're waking up to the fact that like we were sold a fucking lie, and I just need to put that out there. Like, our government really did sell us one. So then, like, our second chakra is our creative chakra. And coming at things from a creative space, you know, we just went through the North Node through Taurus and South Node through Scorpio. So last year's eclipses kind of wrapped that up. And brought us, you know, a Taurus eclipse on October 28th of 2023. And that eclipse for a lot of people was very, very intense, very, very emotional. There's a lot of deep trauma, deep wounds we were going through. But also when we look at October as a symbolic time, this is when, you know, everything went down with Hamas. And it was supposed to. You know, I even looked at these earthquake charts. I looked at the Baltimore Bridge collapse chart, and I wanted to kind of see where the moon was. And I had a hypothesis that it was like a 10th house midheaven moon, which is kind of like this high social status falling sort of situation. My hypothesis was debunked when I looked at the Taiwan earthquake, which was more Uranian based, and the moon was in the 9th house, which is still like public energy. It's more of a great teacher, and Uranus is more of like this freak chaotic energy, very earthquake energy, very tornado type energy. But when I looked at like the US thing with like the bridge collapse, and then on the east coast of the US, there was a epicenter in Tewksbury, New Jersey, on April, 6th? And I looked at the chart of the initial earthquake. There was an aftershock. I didn't look at that chart. But the initial earthquake put the moon in the 10th house. And the Baltimore Bridge earthquake put the moon on the midheaven in the 10th house. To me, like at least from the US standpoint, these you know, that is linked to Capricorn energy, and the U.S. is based in a religion of capitalism. So when I look at those eclipses from the North and South node being in Taurus and Scorpio, we were meant to go through a deep emotional processing where we might not have had words to it. And now with this solar eclipse in Aries, we were meant to express our words towards it because we were in the lower chakras. Now, Taurus does represent the throat chakra, but Scorpio represents the pelvic floor. It also represents, like, if we had trauma to that area. And Aries energy brings us this link between the lower and upper chakras. So we're meant to discuss our traumas here. We're meant to, like, bring them to the space of speaking in public about them. Passing the feather along to one another. And being like, I need to hear your story. I need to hear your story. I need to hear their story. We need to collectively hear each other. So I also want to acknowledge that as well. So I'm just going to read what I wrote, and it's probably a repeat, but I feel like this is kind of bringing it all towards what this meditation brought on, and then I'm going to share one more thing. There was never any protection in my house growing up, and how I hide my whole self from the world because I was raised in an abusive religion in an abusive country under abusive mindsets and patterns that were considered acceptable that should never have been considered acceptable at all. So the insight I got for the eclipse is sit with the feelings today. It's very hard. So I'm going to be turning off my phone and just sit with these feelings, sit with these thoughts, sit with these memories, sit with all this stuff. And I had this dream back in the summer in 2023 when Venus was retrograde. I was doing a lot of meditation and a lot of shadow work because the South Node was still in Scorpio, and I was really, really deeply in the shadow work. And I know, like, the shadow work journal was out, and it was a big thing, but that was very, like, scorpionic healing type stuff. So during this time when I was really deeply in meditation, there was one time I had an insight come through where I had this man's face pop up, and there were all these spirit guides around him, and they were telling me things about something he was personally going through. So I don't know if it was like maybe surgery or he had crossed paths, but I was being shown he was on the other side, and this was somebody that I only saw once in my life, and it was when I was doing Uber Eats. And I wanted to keep this kind of to myself, but I felt the need to share for this eclipse. And I was, you know, as a comic, I have driven Uber Eats in all the states that I've been in, like, to just kind of keep myself afloat. And it's a hustle. It's a lot of work, especially when you're in a place like Los Angeles, and it's a constant, like, are they going to tow my car where I'm delivering food? Am I going to get a ticket? And by the way, a ticket in LA is like $80, and it's could be all that you make that day. So it's really tough. It's like this constant, like, relay of, like, this, I want to deliver food promptly and on time and pick it up promptly and on time and get my, you know, rating and be able to do all the things and keep gas in this car and keep myself fed. And, like, it's just a never-ending Ferris wheel of a battle when you're driving Uber Eats in a place like Los Angeles. And shout out to all the delivery drivers out there, because it's a tough hustle. But there was this one, and I took pride, like, I was always made sure people's food was taken care of. Like, I tried my absolute best with the parameters that I had. And I had really high ratings on my Uber. Delivering food one day, tacos, I remember this, to somebody's front door in a place called Glendale, which is in a place called North Hollywood, California. And so I'm going through like these neighborhoods and I deliver food. I get the bag of tacos out and I'm going to somebody's front door. I'm pretty sure I was picked up by the Ring camera because I'm pretty sure Spirit had my back. But like something like slipped the whole bag out of my hand and like everything was fine. Like all the food was fine and everything landed on top of the bag. But the way it landed was like the bag ripped and it was like everything landed perfectly fine, but in front of the door. And I rang the bell and the guy came to the door and I picked it up and I was like, I am so sorry, but all the food just like slipped out of my hand and it's fine and like everything's fine, but this is how it landed. And it landed like perfectly on the bag. Nothing was touched. And I'll never forget that in a way where it was like, I felt so guilty and I had like a moment of like, oh my God, my rating's gonna go down. And like, if he only knew the hustle to get to him and like, you know, the time constraints I'm under. And like, of course this shit goes down. And he was like angry, but not angry. It was like, it was just this feeling of like failure. And, you know, as a comic, it's tough because you just want to like get your job done and like get your hours in and get your money so you can like go and do stand up. But like, it really sat with me. And so I see this guy in meditation, I see his spirit guides, and they're just like laughing and they're like, we're showing him what you went through to get to him. And not even like what you went through that day, but how you ended up being an Uber Eats driver in LA to begin with. And they were showing him like, she's of the medicine. Like she's whatever they were trying to explain to this man, they were like, she is of the medicine. And I didn't understand what they meant by that. I thought, well, maybe it's because, you know, they showed him like all the studies I did in biology and all this stuff. And they were like trying to explain some backstories to like what that meant towards their family. And so I'm being shown like forgiveness. But the main message I got through this was please pray for Iran, which was so random. And when I got the message, there had already been protests, you know, regarding things that were going on in Iran. And I was like, yes, absolutely, like, peace for the world. And they were like, no, you really need to pray for Iran. And basically that it would, like, the feeling that it would make sense later. So I am not, you know, I'm only sharing this to share that, like, this is the insight that I got, and this is the insight that I got to share for this podcast, like, received to share again, to share this story and just say, like, there are governments, and then there are the people behind the governments, and the fact that so much is going on, and to keep, like, the people of Iran, and the people of Palestine, and the people that are caught in between in Israel, that are just kind humans stuck in a war. In good thoughts. So, I mean, it's just my humble story. Like, it's just a story to share that happened to me. And also, like, the spirit guides, like, they were funny. And they were like, he didn't need to eat that. Of course we're gonna knock it out of your hand. Like, he needed to take care of his heart. And here's this girl coming to his door bringing him this food that's not good for his heart. So those are some insights that I received. And I just wish everybody a really amazing eclipse tomorrow. Knowing that the week ahead is, it's the only big transit we have of the week. And I only shared the major aspects that I also want to include for the week as well. So I hope that you enjoy, you know, April 8th. We're going to make it through this. Of course, some shit's going to go down in the world throughout the week. Of course. That's what this is all about. But we're being woken up to far more. And that includes the work. Like, this work never stops. The inner reflective work. So have an amazing week ahead and take care.